All right,
you're ready.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, it's been so long. I just gotta like, really gotta get in. Okay. Hello to all first-time buyers, returners, or window shoppers. Welcome back to Off the Rack, a podcast where we look into any and everything fashion. I'm Cordell Jones.
And I'm Micah Barkley.
And we will be helping you today with your visit. On today's episode, we are talking all things Wayman Bannerman, his journey through fashion, his favorite fashion moments, and more. So have your carts ready, because at Off the Rack, our conversations sell.
Real bad.
All right. So honestly, don't have a spotlight for this episode because the guest is a spotlight enough. Our guest today is a world-renowned stylist with over 10 years in the game, styling the likes of Jodie Turner-Smith, Regina King, Tiffany Haddish, and more. It is FAMU alumni Wayman Bannerman. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Good. I'm cheesing. we haven't had like a celebrity stylist.
Like we haven't here. Had a like
one of like the, we do the interviews is, like all the time, but
yeah.
We
have, yeah, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Very crazy.
I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be speaking with you both. You know, I love FAMU. It's dear to my heart and my spirit and my soul. So I'm happy we made it happen.
Definitely.
I feel like before we get into like the baseline questions, can we kind of get like an overview of you just starting out, I would say, through FAMU? And like, what did you want to do here? How did you, when you graduated, just take off? Like, what is the process that you kind of went through to do what you are doing now?
Yeah. So, you know, my FAMU journey was an interesting journey. When I came to the campus, I was an electrical engineer major.
Hello?
My God. Oh. Jesus.
Okay.
So I got to the campus because I started in the summer before the fall. So I got to the campus and then I went to the engineering school and I didn't know that it was a different school offside of the actual campus. I got there and I was like, I don't think I want to do this. So I immediately changed my major from electrical engineering to computer information systems.
Okay.
I did that for probably about a year and a half, and then I changed my major again. I changed my major to business administration with a minor in marketing.
Okay.
At that point, it was just like, okay, I just need to get out of the school, graduate.
Okay.
Honestly.
But, you know, it was so interesting because I always had an affinity for fashion. I always wanted to have a career in fashion. But growing up, I always thought the only avenue and the outlet to have a career in fashion was to be a designer. And at the time, I was like, well, you know, I don't sketch. I don't make clothing. So maybe I should just try something else. Maybe I should just try, like, you know, getting a business degree and then I can work and serve as a business entity for fashion. So that's why I transferred my degree and my major over to business. So I took an internship my last semester in merchandising and buying in Chicago. And that opened my eyes up to like the business side of fashion. So I was like, oh, I can actually have a career in fashion with my experience and with my education and my knowledge. So from that internship, they offered me a full-time position after I graduated college. So that was really my first introduction to the business of fashion.
Perfect.
Love that.
Aw. I feel like,
crazy.
I don't know. I don't want to say, well, like crazy, like you said, but even going back, I see so many people like think that, okay, I have to go to college for one thing and then do that when coming
out.
Like my mom told me she wanted me to get a degree. And then after I get a degree, do what you want. And I mean, I want to do what's in my degree, honestly. Mm-hmm. But if it takes me, I'm not going to be like, oh, if I end up wanting to be, I don't know, a scientist one day. Yeah, I'll go back to school for it if I care about it because I got that one degree. But like, I'm not afraid of really hopping or change or going through something to get out of something. So I really do like how you were able to, you know, because starting off both in STEM.
Yeah.
I got to hand it to you because
it's a lot.
Yeah, no.
Right. The thing about me, I was always very adamant about finding a way to do what I wanted to do. Regardless of what I was doing, I was going to find a way to make that work for what I want to do.
Right.
And I think that just kind of paid off and really curtailed my journey really, honestly, because I, even though business and fashion is not where I wanted to land, I knew I wanted to land on the creative side.
Yeah.
But I knew the business side is a good foundation to be creative, you know, and a lot of creatives, a lot of designers, a lot of houses, stylists, you know, et cetera, need to know the foundation of how to run a company, especially if they're an entrepreneur. And that separates the good from the great, you know, having that business degree, having that business acumen, that experience to really propel your creativity and how to market your creativity as well. So that was, you know, I was always trying to find the dots to connect them together and making sure, you know, it popped off.
I'm 100% with that. Like, even in J school here, I always tell people, like, the things and the programs that we have here, participate in them and get all you can out of them, because you never know when you can apply those technical or even soft skills to something else. Yeah. Like, you never know what type of opportunities you can even get out. Even if you need to just get your foot in the door or an excuse to move to this state for something, you can find something else. But this is your excuse right now. Have stable income or do whatever the case may be, but you're in New York or you're in Atlanta or LA, stuff like that. So
exactly, because also having that business degree, to the beginning of my story, I actually left out this part of the story. When I graduated, I had two offers. One was at JPMorgan Chase in New York that started a year later, and then the opportunity that was in merchandising combined started immediately. Mm-hmm. So in my head, and I don't tell people to do this, I accepted both jobs, but I was going to go to the first job for about a year, but I didn't tell anyone that, because we were always told, you know, you got to start a job. When you get on a job, you start it, you stay there for 2 years, X, Y, Z. Mm. And that was never going to be my journey. You know, that was never going to be my story. So I accepted both offers quietly because I knew I needed to get to New York for fashion.
Talk about it.
I got to get to New York. So when the JPMorgan Chase job started, I was going to FIT at night. I was taking a 2-year associate's program. When I finished that program, I quit my job. I left JPMorgan Chase and I started interning and assisting at every stylist that will accept me in New York. And from there, I worked with some of the greats. I worked with Constance Weitsch. At the time, she was the editor-in-chief of Essence Magazine. I worked with June Ambrose. I remember first meeting June Ambrose. It was such a pivotal experience in my life. I went to a book signing of hers, and she complimented me on what I wore. And then from there, it just gave me the drive and the momentum to work, you know, and aspire to build my career out in fashion. And then after probably assisting and freelancing for about a year in New York, working with other stylists on video shoots, editorial covers, I landed an internship with GQ magazine. And then that internship lasted for 3 months. And I remember in that internship, interviewing for that process, they were like, we feel like you're overqualified. You're going to get bored with the job. You're going to, you know, you're probably going to leave us and quit. And I was like, no, you have my commitment. This is what I want to do. This is what I aspire to be. And this is where I want to be. I wanted to be in the hem of the Condé Nast publications because they publish all of the major magazines. And then after that internship ended, they offered me a freelance position working in the fashion closet, and I would start to freelance with all of their editors, with their contributing styles as well. And it really just helped put my name and my experience and, you know, my professionalism out there. And it really helped grow my career. So I pretty much jumped from job to job within the fashion editorial for about 3 to 4 years. And it kept me busy until, you know, I really could build my own portfolio and create my own lane for fashion, my own point of view of what I wanted to do and say as a stylist. And stop me if I'm talking too much.
No, you're fine.
No, you're fine.
This is great.
I feel like I jumped us ahead. This is the first, like you said, this is the first time we've had like a I call you a celebrity. Look, you're not a celebrity, but alumni. So I'm just like, the main question that a lot of people have that you've answered is like, a lot of people give the cheesy, you know, if you just believe in yourself, you told us, okay, you applied for this. You told us, don't do this, but this is what I did, X, Y, and Z, and got us there. But we can start with some of our basic baseline questions that we ask everyone. They're kind of fun just to get to know you as a person too. So what this kind of question actually doubles that I'm going to ask. So the best place to shop at, but could we do it like, what is your favorite place to shop at? And when it comes to you styling people, where do you immediately, okay, I have to style this person, this is the brand I'm gonna go to, or these are the places I'm gonna look at while getting my stuff?
Okay. So I am a really big fan of high-low. And when I say high-low, it's like mixing your high-end brands.
Let's talk about like real.
You're real. Purple. You know, right now I got on a Target t-shirt that I love and I buy these by the pack. You know, because they are just the base for everything. But I have it on with some, you know, Marcine Rose sweatpants, you know, so I mix that a lot. So I like to shop at, like, I actually love right now online retailers like Essence, Farfetch, Forward, ASOS, Zara.com. Like, I love online retailers because I can visualize it on me creatively, and I can visualize it on my clients as well. And I'm able to, like, acquire something from one site to match it and mix it with something from another site. So I really love and enjoy the online retailer space. And it's convenient. It can come to your home. If it doesn't work out, you can just put it right back in the box and return it. So that's kind of where I'm in right now.
What about you, Gordo?
It's ASOS at this point. It's been stuck. I've been getting most of my grad stuff from there. All my little knockaround outfits have kind of just been there. The money has been tight, so we're shopping on a budget, and ASOS has been fulfilling that budget. So, and I live with that.
And then, you know, the great thing about that is that you can wear it for a little bit, and then you can move on and not feel any remorse for moving on, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. For myself, we've talked about this on multiple different episodes. My style, since we started, like, the podcast, my style has changed like 11 times.
Yes.
But right now, I'm all about either, I'm not in between, it's either just comfort, like, or business because of the type of classes we're doing or even interviews and stuff that we have. So I have to buy more formal business professional clothes. But my casual clothes, I don't wear too much streetwear anymore because I feel like I used to like the baggy look of everything. Baggy jeans, baggy shirts and everything like that. Kind of started to get out of that, but I like baggy, comfortable clothes. So the main places I've actually been shopping, Target, number one, because of their flared leggings from, what is it, Wild Fable? Shout out Wild Fable. Thank you. So them for sure. And they have some other cute brands, but none of those really fit my style too much, but I like their the type of leggings that they have. They have straight leg, not leggings, but sweatpants. I don't like the joggers that scrunch.
Yeah.
I like either flared or just straight leg. They have a lot of those at Target. They kind of high, like $30. But anyway, but so it's either there, and then the other place I've been going to is like Marshalls and TJ Maxx.
Honestly, you can find great stuff there. Your homes, it's like Marshalls and TJ Maxx. Like, I go and stack up on those candles.
Let's talk about it. I only go to Marshall for my candles. No, that's understood. $7 that's candles, real. And they smell amazing. Instead of going to Bath and Body Works, no shade, because my mama get the deals from Bath and Body Works. Can't even lie. But I'm not paying $25 for three wick candles, one candle, when I could buy three of those candles at Marshalls.
Literally,
you know. So there, and then I like getting skincare from Marshalls, TJ Maxx, and stuff. But I thoroughly research, you know, make sure those products are good before I take it out. But the clothing styles that they have there, it's really been fitting me lately, the type of style that I like and the comfort, and just, I don't know, it's, that's been my favorite as of right now for sure.
And I think it's about finding those, like, making that experience of finding what works for you a great experience. Because, you know, you can find your vibe and your style at three stores, and when you mix it and match it together, it becomes your own identity.
Yes.
So I have beauty in that, and, like, you should make that fun. And anyone who's looking to define their style, try out a couple of stores and start, you know, shopping and sightseeing, seeing what's out there before you just kind of like, okay, I'm just going to settle on this thing from this one store. You know, have some fun with it, you know. It's supposed to be an expression of yourself and an extension of yourself as well. So why not?
Right.
Yeah.
So our next question is, currently, like, in your closet, or even since you style, of course, even if you styleless on somebody, what is your favorite clothing piece right now or accessory that either you have, you always wear it, or you can't wait to wear it, or all that stuff?
My favorite item right now is the Balenciaga dad sneaker. I wear those almost every day. Any day that I can, I usually wear those. Like, that's just my favorite sneaker. It's comfortable. It's stylish. It's a good investment. And like I said, my black tees from Target, I'm always getting the fresh pack of three.
That's real.
Cordell. Honestly, and I feel like, Micah, you there's no
you
way
have
that,
the same one.
It would have the to same be. One. It would have to be the same one.
Yeah.
So we had a designer on here previously who was from Tallahassee, and they made these Birkenstocks that are covered in green grass turf. We have been wearing them
non-stop.
Basically every day. There hasn't been a day where we wear them.
They're like, I kind of want to take the shoe off.
I wish I had them on me today. What's funny.
So I'm going to do it. Hold on.
Yeah. Wow.
So we can hold them up. But they look like this.
Those are so good.
But they're pretty, like, they're like Birkenstocks with turf on them. But the main thing is comfort. Like I keep saying, for me. So if these were just regular Birkenstocks, I'd wear them every day because of how comfortable they are. The ribbon and running I do, I don't have time to dress up anymore. These shoes add that dress up because it's a comfortable shoe, mind you. But everybody just stares every time. Like somebody will look and, is that grass? It is. But I love it so much because of the comfortability. And I know some fashion moments, they're not all comfortable. Mm-hmm. But I love these so much that they're so comfortable. Do they go with every outfit? No.
Not at all. But no, they work. But they work.
If that makes sense. With certain outfits, because I'm wearing, I have somewhere to go after this. I'm wearing business at the top, and my slides before I put on the heels are those. Does that go together?
No.
No. Do I look good?
You're a woman of nature. Yeah. Right. That's really
I'm a woman
is.
Of nature. What yes. You? So that kind of.
Wow, you're doing it very smart. I love that.
Yes. So, and they look great with anything flared.
Yeah.
Because you know, me and the flared and straight, like they just.
They're great.
They're great. They're a great brand.
You get that little peak in the front, and that's all you need.
Yes. They get a little peak, but people are just, it's not like it's just a green shoe. Everyone's looking because it's literally like sticking out like grass, and it's like you're getting stares wherever you go in the best way possible. Mm-hmm. Like, I love it so much.
Yeah, so great.
So, our last baseline question is you kind of talked about it a little bit when we were talking about the places to shop at, but what is one fashion tip that you would give to anyone that's trying to, it doesn't have to be a stylist, but they're trying to just style themselves or figure out their unique style, because that's kind of something that we were talking about at the beginning when we were doing our podcast and stuff. It's like, dang, like I keep changing it. And then even now I feel like I fell out of who I used to be with the way I used to dress, because the vision was there. Was the money there? No, but the vision was there. So, but now I've kind of fallen out of the way I used to dress. And I'm just like, well, dang, like, I don't think I've conformed to anyone else, but I think I've just grown up a bit and genuinely my style has just genuinely changed. Like, I don't like the way I used to dress. But like, for somebody with either an ever-changing style or just looking to style themselves better, do you have any advice?
Yeah, so my thing now is, before you get rid of one item, allow yourself to think about how can you repurpose the item. Because sometimes it's about, I think we're in this place now where repurposing fashion could be fun and exciting. Like, say, for instance, if it's this long, oversized sweater, before you get rid of it and you feel like, oh, I'm tired of wearing this oversized sweater, it's stretched out, you know, maybe crop it or cut the sleeves off or crop the sleeves, you know, make it, what would it feel like for a spring summer edition of that fall winter sweater? So I think it's about repurposing items before you get rid of them, for sure, because there can be really cool ways to rewear them and re-see them and re-envision.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And me saying I agree, I haven't done that, and I'm like, it was right there in my face. And I feel like sometimes I've tried before to repurpose some things. It was back, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't look up any proper tutorial. Oh, you can change this shirt to look like this. I was just cutting and getting scissor happy. And then I just throw it away. Oh, I'm throwing it away anyway.
Like, no, real.
Mess it up. But now that I'm like day to day going back, oh, this party's coming up. Oh, I'm going here. Like, dang, I could have used that shirt. But if I would have put this over here or cut it, like, so.
Right, because the moment you get rid of it is the time you need it.
Exactly. Yes. So right now, even because I'm going to New York this summer, I'm thinking like, okay, my clothes, I have a lot of clothes. I'm like, dang, I don't want to throw them all away and then try to buy new ones. That's just a waste of money, you know, and I'm not there yet to where I can have an ever-changing closet. I got to figure out how to take these items and repurpose it for the different areas that I go to, so.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially like New York summer. New York summer can be very humid. So like, if you have something that you can just kind of mix up and cut up, it'll be great for New York.
Got you.
We can go right into the regular big questions. None of my Diane Sawyer moment, but you know, a little something. Yeah.
We all over the place.
Yeah, it's been a week.
It's been a week.
I get it. I've had many of those.
Yeah. How would you say that your childhood and upbringing influenced your desire to want to go into fashion?
So growing up in, great question. Growing up for me, I was always influenced and always introduced to fashion through my family. My grandmother taught me how to sew. My mother was very much a fashion advocate. She also modeled in her younger days. The importance of fashion was introduced to me at an early age through watching my grandmother care for her individual pieces and her jewelry box and like her pearls. And I would like just kind of watch and observe how they would get dressed on, like, say, for instance, Sunday service before church. And they were very intentional about what they wore, how they wore it, what it looked like, and how it fit. So early on in my childhood, I understood, like, unconsciously what tailoring was before I knew the definition of what tailoring was. And I think also seeing my father and my uncles dress in their suiting and how once they put on the suit, it really helped them define the mood they were in, you know, and how it shifted their energy once they put on a really fine tailored suit that they loved or, you know, admired. And then you would just see the banter going back and forth with like the family members and the collective just, you know, complimenting each other on their look. Looks on, you know, getting tips on how to wear their looks, on who had this look and where they got it from, and, you know, intertwining all of those emotions. And I think that was my first introduction to fashion, and I enjoyed that feeling of what I saw. So it made me garner an interest in fashion as well. So even as a young kid, you know, I was always, you know, looking at the designers in the malls, looking at the high-end designers that I, you know, necessarily didn't have the financial means to acquire. But the aspiration was there in my head to like, oh, one day I would like to, you know, be in the mix of that, or maybe simply just to be able to afford it. Because this is before I even knew I wanted to actually have a career in fashion, you know. I would go to the mall, my mother sometimes on a Saturday, and we would just kind of, you know, walk the mall and look at clothing. And sometimes we didn't buy anything, you know, the joy was just going in and looking at the creative, you know, options that were in the mall at the time for each season. So I think that just really stayed with me and carried me. And once I became, you know, adolescent and into my teenage years, I really just, you know, enjoyed the element of dressing up, you know, making it feel special. When you have those big moments, whether it's weddings, birthday parties, homecomings, proms, when you have a moment to dress up, you know, it really was, you know, sparked a joy in me. And that joy just kind of carried me into looking into that joy further to know, well, what can come more of this joy?
That's like similar, like I've said this before, how I got into it too, growing up, of course, a Black household, like, and family stayed in church. So, and we went to a Baptist church, so they were kind of, you know, it was half and half when I was growing up, because half of the church, the older ladies, you know, no pants. They didn't My mama didn't care. But for the most part, like, I didn't understand even, and I've said this before, my mom, like, she's very particular about how I dress because I grew up as plus size, and so did she. And her mother dressed her a certain way, and my mother did the same for me. But she wasn't like, you know, going to church. I always looked put together, but, you know, back then there wasn't too many kid plus size cute clothing. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, 12 shopping in women's plus. You know what I'm saying? So, like, she had to find what she needed to find for me. But she, like, sometimes I'd be like, she dressed me until I was literally, like, 16. Like, I'm not going to even lie. So, for, like, my 16th birthday, there were certain things she wanted me to wear and stuff like that. And I didn't understand it then. But even going into seeing, you know, how she wanted me, my family's from up north too. So it was kind of like, they always got dressed up. Mm-hmm. I always got compliments because of the way I didn't understand. Cause I was like, I think this looks ugly. But no, for a daughter in comparison to what other children were allowed to wear to church, a lot of people and elderly mothers compliment to my mother, like, you always have her put together and dressed correctly.
Yeah,
now
for sure.
At my age, I'm only 22, but like looking back, I 100% understand it, and I'm remembering all the outfits. They weren't bad. I was just, I wanted to have an argument with her because, like, I wanted to be different.
Because I was wearing that color shirt. I'm just
like, what's the issue with me wearing that? I never understood it because I wanted to be allowed to make those mistakes, but I understood there was a time and a place, and church wasn't the time to be looking. I didn't feel like getting talked about. My mother refused.
Yeah.
But that's kind of where it started for me with the, I don't want to say over the top, but Easter was my, you know me. Easter was my Sunday. I looked good. The mothers looked good. Them hats. So I feel like some of those things stuck in the back of my mind. And when it comes to dressing up business and stuff, like even when I have a presentation or something like that, I take that into today for me.
No, that's real. Honestly, I feel like even when I think about it, sometimes the Black church is almost like, I guess as a kid, that's like your first fashion show. Because it's like you're seeing everybody dolled up, dressed to the nines, especially like the first ladies in the front row, everybody with the big church hats, especially if it's a Baptist church, everybody's just decked out.
With the fan.
Yes.
Literally. And references that I still use in my styling to this day. You guys know I have a business partner. His name is Micah, and he had the same upbringing as me. We both grew up in the church, and we still use those references as we're styling out, you know, clients for certain things and certain events. They come up weekly, like they were yesterday.
Since you brought up your business partner, Micah, how did you guys meet? And I guess, how did you guys meld both of your eyes and styling together to, you know, create your partnership?
Is it spelled the same? Is it M-I-C-A-H?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Twin.
Thank you. Go ahead.
We actually met in New York City. This is when I was working in fashion editorial with Condé Nast, and he was working for Marc Jacobs in New York. And we met through a mutual friend one night at a house party in Harlem. And then our friend that was mutual introduced us to one another. And then we realized we had so many like parallels and common interests and just in fashion alone together. So we all became friends. We all started hanging out. And then fast forward to one year, we were doing vision boards for the new year in my apartment in Harlem. And for our vision boards, we were working on our vision boards professionally and personally. And when we got to the professional side, a lot of what we wanted to acquire for our careers were so aligned. Like, we know this is the year we both know we wanted to move into celebrity wardrobe dressing, because prior to that, we were doing fashion editorial. So fashion editorial and celebrity wardrobe dressing are completely two separate entities when you really dive into it. But we know we wanted to start dressing clients and having clients for the red carpet and events versus doing magazines and editorials and covers. We wanted to work with some of the same people. We've had some of the same creative visions that we were putting on that vision board. And Micah posed a question to me. He's like, well, why don't we go after them together as opposed to losing them to an opposing force? And I said, okay. And then within that same year, a couple people that were on our original board, we worked with and we acquired for ourselves. And then after that, we were like, okay, I guess we need to just kind of make this a company. So we fast-tracked making ourselves a company, getting an LLC, establishing that, you know, making sure the business side was intact as well. And we were flying from New York and LA back and forth to take meetings with anyone that would talk and speak with us, that would hear us. We met with agents, we met with talent managers, we met with up-and-coming actors and actresses, anyone that would just take a meeting with us, and we would use our resources that we kind of acquired, you know, working in fashion editorial to make those connections. And within that same year of manifesting what we wanted, we obtained what we wanted.
I love that.
Never look back.
Because I literally told myself last year my vision, I was like, so I'm a part of like the Her Campus Collective College Fashionista. And so I think this was last spring or last February. They all I was able to go to New York for New York Fashion Week, but it was, you had to really pay your way. They had tickets for certain events and stuff, but you had to pay for the flight. You had to find your own place. And I was like, dang. So I was literally like, well, I want to go to New York this year. And I just said that out loud. And then I found my way through internships and stuff. I was able to go to Chicago, New York, DC in that same year, back to back to back, which was great. And so seeing myself in New York, I've always wanted to be there. I was just like, honestly, that was my goal. I didn't even know I liked New York that much. I just knew, like, I was like, something about New York just keeps like pulling me to it. And I keep seeing this stuff, like people saying, either on TikTok or Twitter, X or whatever, like if a city specifically is calling you, it's because something is there for you. And so the fact that I'm going like for an internship, I'm like, dang, like this is too much of a coincidence. Now, you never know, I could end up getting called somewhere else, but it's really giving New York right now.
It is.
And I'm very excited for that, honestly.
That's real.
And then also, if that city is calling you, it could be a story in your journey that's very purposeful. Yes. So, you know, sometimes you got to listen to that energy.
Yeah, it doesn't even, I might only be there for a year, but there's a whole thing that could happen in a whole year. Hopefully, I'm there longer. But
we manifest you there longer.
I manifest.
It ain't going to be no, yeah. Yes, it's going to be on an internship. Yes.
Jesus.
Because I need somebody to visit. So we got to make that work.
We're going to all pile up into that that studio apartment.
Oh.
Right. Been
yeah.
there.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
been there.
Okay. Okay. I need to get yourself a hotel. Okay.
Oh, not too much.
Okay.
Not too much.
Okay. I'm just saying.
Okay. All right.
If you try to get to New York, I got a few air mattresses.
I mean, I'm going
to
get there.
Okay.
By boat or by plane, I will make my way.
Look, my bus or by train.
Hello.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, make your way.
Hook or crook, I'm going to get there. I always
encourage people to like spend time in New York. New York, spending time in New York is some of the best years of my life, honestly. And it really helped matriculate who I am now. Like the life lessons you learn by spending time in New York are priceless.
I'm excited.
Yeah. It should be.
I know.
My next question is just through styling many like celebrities, including Devine Joy Randolph's, Coleman Domingo, Regina King, and so many more. How have you learned to adapt to each client's fashion needs while keeping your eye on what's trending or current, I guess, within the fashion world?
I think what we do and what we really allow ourselves to understand is first them as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
Even before we get into the creative of, you know, what are they going to wear and, you know, where are they going to wear this to, we like to understand who they are as a person. So it's like understanding the authentic them and who they are, you know, first before diving into the fashion element of what we offer, so we can know how to tell who they are and their personality through storytelling of fashion. And I think that's why we're able to make each client feel so special and unique, and be unique on the red carpet, because we'd like to, it's coming from a place of understanding who they are as a person and bringing out those elements of what excites them, what makes them happy, what their joys are, what their assets are, and bringing it into a place of fashion and storytelling of what that story can be conveyed as, because it also has the element of their energy, their personality, their insight with the clothing.
I love that. Honestly, I wanted to follow that up with, I guess, which client have you learned the most from in terms of styling them?
Oh my gosh, that I've learned the most from. I can say I have learned lots of lessons from every client, but the one that I have learned the most from, I think I'm enjoying the journey we're on right now with Coleman, because what he is doing and what we're collaborating, what our collaboration is birthing is a new resurgence of menswear.
Mm-hmm.
So in that resurgence, we're learning so much about ourselves, you know, what we create, the story we tell, and we're learning about him and just how, when it's the three of us collectively collaborating, newness is formed and it's so well received and the boundaries are being pushed and you're seeing more men comfortable in experimenting with menswear now. It feels very exciting to be on that journey, you know, and to know that, you know, we are making people comfortable and step out of their box to explore and feel free and really be who they are without feeling that they are going to be judged, you know, or being ridiculed because they want to try something that's, you know, obscure or out of the box.
I like that.
Who is or what, because you can do this for either a company or a person, but who would be your dream client? Or have you, you know, you worked with so many great people, but is there like somebody like, if I could get my hands on it, I'm never letting go?
Let's say my dream event.
Okay.
My dream event is to one day do the Super Bowl.
I know, that's right.
I can see that.
Yeah. I'd want to.
That's on the bucket list.
For sure.
That's real.
Those outfits. So you're talking about the
halftime show.
Okay, the halftime show. Okay.
Because
I'm like, there's like, I know people style for even basketball games, like when they walk.
Oh, like the tunnel fits.
Yeah, I've done that. I've dressed clients going to the Super Bowl fits as well, but I want the halftime show. That's on my bucket list.
That would eat. See, me, I have for an event, I'd want to do two. Well, I'd want to do one event for right now, and then I'd want to help style for like company for like fashion show. Shoots or for like runway walks. So for the event, I want to do the Oscars winding.
The Oscars. I feel like okay.
if it's like just one person or whatever the case may be. And then as far as a company, I would love to do, like I've said it before, Louis Vuitton.
Yeah.
It's really Louis Vuitton for me. Or like, this is not fashion, but like for creative directing. Actually, no, turn it back. Coach. Now look, I don't even know. Louis Vuitton is cool too, but I'm a Coach girly right now. And even if it's not just people wearing certain Coach items, as far as accessories or like staging bracelet stacks to be taken a picture of, like basic stuff like that I like, or even, you know, creating the background or helping create the setup for like a perfume shoot, like, you know, just placing certain things, I feel like that would be cute.
That would be really dope, yeah. And Coach has a really great creative director, and they're doing amazing things over there, so.
They are.
Great brand.
Yes.
Yeah. I guess for me, probably I would just want to, if I had a dream event, I'd say the Met.
Of course.
Like, it's just, like, in terms of, like, spectacle, like, that is the biggest night to try and pull any type of stunt or, like, a spectacle on a specific theme. And even this year's with, like, Black Dandyism, so much of it relating so much into Black culture, like, the possibilities are endless. And, like, that would be such a cool opportunity to kind of have.
I can see that, though.
And it's such a moment. It's such a joy, too. And it's such a rush, but I love, love the Met. And I just love everything about the Met, surrounding Met. It's a stylist reward, you know?
It definitely is. And I never knew that because up until, 2016, 17, I never knew what the Met was. But seeing that that's, like, a big night, like, any event could really be a big night or a big event, like you would think any type of red carpet, but that right there is the, because it's only a select, it's not like, oh, you can have anybody can style or you can be just a guest or anything like that, style somebody for that, but like to, you have to specifically be invited to certain thing like the Met, so that type of thing, that's huge.
Honestly,
I can see that for you though.
But yeah, if it wouldn't be that, I guess if I were to do, like you said, a business, or I guess curating something, maybe like doing styling work for like Paper Days magazine.
Oh yeah.
Like both of those have been like, I guess growing up, the alt type magazines that I've been interested in. Oh, and ID too.
ID for sure. Yeah.
Like those three, doing something with some brand or like an indie designer and just like putting them in a very interesting spread or layout would be really cool to do.
I love that.
Yeah. So
for great taste.
Yeah. He does. Cordell is that. Like,
please.
Cordell's he's downplaying himself.
I'm just very out of it. It's like,
it's like we've been doing this for so long to the point where we're tired of it. It's like, I love fashion, but sometimes I'd be like, dang.
Like,
it's just so much to keep up with.
Yeah.
Like, even going back to what you're saying, like.
Yeah, it stays moving.
Yeah.
But I guess for one of our last questions, we're not towards the middle of the year yet. It's only March. It feels
like we're already in June. Like, I'm already feeling like we in the summer. It's hot. Like,
yeah. But
midsummer.
That's what I'm saying. Basically. That's what I'm saying. But even though we're not at the middle yet, what has been your favorite styling moment of 2025?
Favorite styling moment of 2025 was Oscars Day. We had a great day. We dressed Coleman. We dressed for ceremony. We dressed Divine for ceremony. And then for Vanity Fair Oscar party, we had about 7 or 8 clients. And they all looked amazing. And that was a really great day. And everything went over smooth with our team. It was such a beautiful moment. And we were really happy with how it turned out.
Yeah. Do you see yourself as a stylist right now? I know this may be in the future or too far to tell, but do you see yourself coming out with your own clothing line or trying to have some type of collab with an established brand, or do you have any aspirations of doing that?
Absolutely. I do have aspirations of expanding so much knowledge that we've learned and acquired through styling, and also dressing women of curves. There's a level of education that's not out there yet that I would like to offer.
I appreciate that because we've had talks about it now because, you know, there's just, as a plus size woman, there's more of a variety now. I will say that I can get into, that's my style, but there's also not. And I can understand, like, we've had conversations before about, you know, even on Amazon, for example, if you have like Halloween costume, for example, if you have like an extra small through a large, you have all the accessories and it looks so nice. But then all the plus size women, you get a bodysuit with the design printed on it, or just certain things from different brands. I understand how, you know, we're asking for the same designs, for example. But they'll like try to make it one size fits all. We want certain brands. Okay, you fit it. The dimensions on a small girl aren't the same dimensions and the same stretchiness or whatever that it would be on a plus size woman. So we try to ask brands, you know, I know it costs some money sometimes, but to take that extra care to make sure it looks good on them, it looks good on us as well. Or even if you have to change certain things. So I like that you're starting with that, because I feel like some other brands, their excuse are, you know, we're going to lose money if we make all these sizes and nobody buys them. You can't estimate that, because there's been no, what research have you done to show that plus size? We can't buy it to show you the research, because it's not there. You know, so.
Really, you said it. It's not there.
So that's how I am right now. And that's definitely like, I do plan on having a clothing line in the future. So, and it would kind of be a mix of just from anywhere from higher fashion to just streetwear, you know, maybe something in Target, that type of thing. So it could be anywhere, but that's definitely what I'm going to prioritize, because I feel like certain designs and certain things that play into confidence is definitely clothes, and having those options for plus size people, or not even just plus size people, taller people, people with longer torso, like those dimensions, it takes time and effort to really curate or change these dimensions, not just, okay, let me do a simple equation to blow this up and blow these numbers up. Like, no, make sure it wraps around a certain person this way. Even, you know, that's my whole rant. But
no, it's real.
I always can stand on that soapbox, because it's
real. I'm glad you see that, because that is a market that we all have to take our part in, and making sure that that voice is heard, and making sure it's given the proper attention, because it's needed.
For sure. Anything else? We can never end these correctly.
Every time we get to the end,
it's just you know.
Yeah.
So how's the weather over there? You know.
Basically, it gives that. It's, oh, my food is great. How was yours?
We're so unserious.
Yeah.
But we thank you so much for joining us. Thank you.
I enjoyed speaking with you both. This was a pleasure. Anytime you need me, I'm here.
Thank you so much.
Back
at AMU. Love you all.
I'm gonna be out one day. I'm going to you when I get a little money in. Can I help? Where can they find you on social media?
My social media handle for Instagram is at WAYDB, and also my professional page, so you can see my work, is at Wayman and Micah. So that's WAYMANANDMICAH, Wayman and Micah.
I love that. Where can they find you, Cordell?
Oh my God. Well, if you don't find me just walking around Tallahassee or inside of my apartment, I am on Instagram at CRDLL. That is at CRDLLL. Yeah.
No vowels.
No vowels. None.
And I'm basic. I'm just at Micah Barkley, MICAHBARKLEY on Instagram. My Twitter is private. Don't look for me. Thank you.
Please. Please, Micah.
I'm just being honest.
I mean, yes, but you know.
I just had to give a disclaimer, because I used to give my Twitter out when I changed the handle and everything.
I mean, you did, but it was kind of like, because I'll look for it.
Don't look for me, guys.
I mean, don't.
There's nothing bad on don't there. I just it. Post a lot of things about K-pop and yeah. Anyways.
I cannot.
Okay, thank you guys for joining us, and we'll see you in the next episode.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Off the Rack is produced in the studios of WANM FM 90.5 in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.